So this may be the most basic of all rhetorical questions, but do you need some good news today? I sure do. And at the, I guess, the baseline of all of this today is this, that the Christian faith, this story of who God is and what God has done, particularly through Jesus, that this is good news. And that's what today's word is all about. It's describing this as good news for us. So I want to talk today about what it is, the good news, and why it's good. As I mentioned, there is this word, euangelion. I'd like you to remember all the words. That one probably you don't have to. It's probably the hardest one to stick in your head. But just looking at it, does it remind you of any English word that you might know? And you can say this out loud, not rhetorical.
Evangelical.
Or evangelism or evangelize. Yes, that's we get it. Which means that those words, evangelize, means to share the good news. And that's what this word means. You can also, this is a fun trick. I'm getting all the nerdy party tricks, preacher party tricks out of the way here at the beginning. You can split the word up into two. The EU means good, and the rest of it, what other word do you see in just the second half? The angelion, or if I pronounced it angelion, what do you see in there? Angel, yes. And you may have forgotten this, but the word angel means messenger. An angel is one of the messengers of God. So that's how you get good message or good news out of this, right? That's what the word means. It's in two forms in the New Testament. There's the noun, good news. That's a little bit over 75 times in the New Testament. And then there's the verb, to tell the good news or to proclaim the good news. That's a little over 50 times in the New Testament. So this word's all over the place. We're also going to look this morning at, even though the Old Testament was written in a different language, Hebrew, it was translated in around Jesus' time into Greek, and they used this word throughout the Old Testament, right, to talk about good news. So we're going to look at what was God's good news. So that's kind of the overview today. I want to start with the good news about Jesus, specifically, what's that good news? And then I want to back up a step and talk a little more broadly, what is the good news about God, told in the whole Bible story, and don't worry, I won't take forever to go through the entire Bible with you, but we want to do that. And then I want to end by answering the question, what is good about it? And share a little bit from my own perspective. Why is this good news good? So that's kind of the map. We're going to start with the good news about Jesus. And probably the first thing I think of, and maybe you would too, is the good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, for the forgiveness of sins. That's at the heart of what the good news or the gospel is. And so there's some verses on the screen that point to that. From 1 Corinthians, the word or the message of the cross is good news, right? It is the power of God to those being saved. So salvation from Jesus' death on the cross. Or from Ephesians, the message of truth is the good news of your salvation. So that's salvation. Jesus dying that we might be saved is the good news about Jesus. And then from Romans 1, we heard this earlier, the gospel is the power of God. The good news is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. So it's that core message of Christianity. Trust in Jesus, believe in Jesus, that he died for your sins on the cross, and you will be forgiven, you will be saved. It's the good news. But there's more good news than that. Without in any way diminishing the good news of the cross, right? We're going to leave it out front and up front, the good news of the cross, but there's also some more. And we observe that with two major church events. One is Christmas and one is Easter. You realize the cross is neither one of those. It happened on a Friday. Anybody remember what we call that Friday? Right. It's good because Jesus died for our sins on that Friday. On Christmas, we also celebrate good news. In fact, the angel that announced to the shepherds that this Christmas thing was happening, that this baby was being born, said to them, I bring you gospel. I bring to you good news of great joy for all the people. Christ is born today. Go and see. Right? That was the Christmas message. That's good news. The incarnation that God is among us, born into this world with human skin on, that Jesus is fully God and fully human, to live as one of us, to be tempted and tried and to suffer and to know the human experience, but also to be faithful and obedient, right? So that's good news about Jesus. And then Easter, right? I often say this around Easter time, the story doesn't end on the cross. That would be wonderful that our sins are forgiven, that we're restored to God. But when God raised Jesus from the dead, that offers us new life, a new start, a new beginning, a purpose, right? So it's arguably also the good news. And we don't have to weigh them against each other. It's all the story of Jesus. I would just offer that as, if you're thinking about what is the good news about Jesus, it's all of that, all of him, from his birth to his death to his resurrection, and even beyond that, this passage from 1 Corinthians, Paul lays all of it out in about three or four verses. The good news that Paul preaches, that you received, in which you stand, by which you're saved, is this, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised, and appeared again. All of that, the big story of Jesus, is good news. We might think we're done describing and exhausting what is the good news, but I want to take another step back and look into the Old Testament and talk about what is the good news about God, because God was at work long before the New Testament events were recorded. In fact, the New Testament tells us that from before the beginning of time, God had all this in vision. So the good news about God, just to fling all this at you at once, it doesn't have to all sink in. Some of what comes to my mind when I think about the good news about God is creation, is God's revealing himself through the law, through prophets, the kingdom of Israel and the king that was set up as a picture of what God's kingdom and God's reign would look at, the promises of a Messiah, an anointed one, who would be both a servant and also the returning king to reign, to rule over God's kingdom and all the nations. That covenant with Abraham that wasn't just for Abraham and his family, but widely encompassed all the nations of the world. All of that is part of God's story that found fulfillment in Jesus, right? So here's a few verses from the Old Testament that, it would be multiple classes to unpack all that, but listen for some of those themes of creation or covenant or kingdom or God's revelation. From Psalm 96, proclaim the good news of God's salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations. That's two things at once, that God is rescuing humanity, right? And it's for all the nations of the world. From Isaiah, this is good news. And I like that this, if you've been here this summer or been tuning in, you'll start hearing some of the words that we've talked about over the summer, right? This is the good news. God's peace, that's shalom. God's happiness, you may not know this one, but if you have any Jewish friends, you may have heard it. Tov, like mazel tov, right? Goodness. Salvation, it's the word Yeshua. And God's reign as king. Isaiah says all this is the good news about God. Or from Isaiah 61, Isaiah was proclaiming on God's behalf good news for the afflicted, for the poor, and that God would bind up in God's kingdom, in God's rule, God would bind up the brokenhearted and declare liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. And so Isaiah was prophesying, proclaiming the favorable year of the Lord. That's the passage. This is where the Old Testament good news connects over to Jesus. That's the passage Jesus read when he was in the synagogue. This is recorded in Luke. And he reads from the scroll of Isaiah and reads this passage. And then at the end of that, he says, not only is this what God has promised, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. He was announcing God's kingdom is here. Right? So then in Matthew 9:35, we read that Jesus is going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Right? God's kingdom is here. God's reign is here. God is accomplishing his salvation among the nations. God is redeeming the people of the world. All those Old Testament promises and good news about God, Jesus says it's happening now, right? So the New Testament verses, in fact, the ones we already read, you see all those Old Testament themes pop up. Even if you go back to, for example, the angel announcement. I bring you good news of great joy, right? Jesus is born, which will be for all people, all the nations of the world. That Christ is born. Christ is the Messiah, right? The Messiah is God's promised one who's going to usher in the kingdom. I mean, and even when we focus in on the verses about Jesus, you get all of that background. This is what God is doing, what God has promised, right, for generations and generations to the world, to redeem them, to restore them. It's all happening in Christ. Ephesians writes that the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, are fellow heirs and members of the body. They partake in the promises, in God's promises, through the good news gospel. All that is to say, yes, Jesus dying on the cross for the forgiveness of your sin, that's good news. But the good news is also this enormous message of who God is and what God is doing. Yes, through Christ for the world specifically, but I just want to make sure we don't miss the glory of it, right? The whole Bible is a good news story from cover to cover. It's good news about Jesus, it's good news about God, and it's good news for each of us. So I want to end by saying a word about why it's good news to me, and hopefully you might resonate with some of this. I'm going to go in a little bit different order. Well, no, about the same order that I just did. I'm going to start in the New Testament and just kind of boil down these five things that I've said so far. First, that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of sin. That is good news to me because through Christ, my sins are forgiven. My disobedience, my intentional sin, my unintentional sin, all that separates me, a human being, from the holy and righteous God and what God wants, Jesus has reconciled that and forgiven that and said the slate is wiped clean. You're clean before the Father. And Scripture says those mercies, that grace of God is new every morning, even this afternoon. When I fall short and fail again, if I look to God in Christ, my sin is forgiven, right? That's a clean slate. That is good news to me, especially when I'm discouraged at my shortcomings and my failures, that Jesus died on the cross for me. Secondly, that bigger picture that Jesus was born and lived and died and raised and is with God, all of that is good news to me. Because it reminds me that God came all the way down to where I live, to the human life level, right? And through Christ, God sees me and knows me and wants me and reaches out to me and makes a way for me and forgives me and adopts me and welcomes me home. I mean, I could go on and on. It means I'm not only forgiven with a clean slate, but I am wanted. And there's purpose for my life and this invitation to come and follow me and come be a part of what I'm doing in the world. And if it's not clear, it's not just me. It's for all who would come to God through Christ. Right? The implications are that God invites us to be a part of what God's doing. And that's good news. From the Old Testament, I want to pull out three things. One is that humanity was created in God's image. And that has profound implications in a number of ways. It demonstrates and declares the dignity and worth of all people. And specifically there in Genesis, it says male and female. God created them in the image of God. But it also speaks to differences in race and language and culture, and all the more so, the next one, that God... this dignity that is inherent in the creation of humanity, God wants each of us, man, woman, adult, child, strong, weak, of every color, every race, every tribe, every tongue. In fact, if you read to the end of the book, that's who God has gathered, this multitude of people made in God's image. that dignity and worth that's in creation is good news to me, especially in a time when we struggle so much with that as a culture and as people. And I do. It sets my compass not on what this politician or that one says or what the winds of news or politics are in our culture, but it sets my compass on God that says every person on this earth has dignity and worth and is worth treating as in the image of God. And that is of huge importance to me. Number four, related to that, God promised to Abraham to bless the entire world. And again, that's the picture in the end. So we're living in this in-between time, right, when God says, my intent is to gather people from every nation to the throne. And then the picture at the end is of that being accomplished. God did it. God was faithful to his promise. That has implications for me. That first, that I am included in that, though I turned away from God, like I, you know, every one of us repeat that sin of Adam and Eve. I say this every time we have communion and every time I think of it. Though we turned away from God, God didn't turn away from us. And this promise to bless the world is just one of many demonstrations of God coming after us, saying, I want to bring you home. Whether you think of that father and the prodigal son story or God's promise to Abraham, it's always this, I'm coming to bring you home. I welcome you home to the whole world. And then fifth, God's kingdom and reign forever. That theme is good news to me because it tells me that though it may not be today, that all things will be set right. Right? All injustices answered. All wars ended. All pain and suffering ended. If you read in Revelation, you read of that too. Where there'll be no more weeping or sorrow. But in the presence of God, all will be set right. And I guess there's a cynical part of me that says, okay, well, fine, that's way out there somewhere. But what about today and this week and all the suffering around me? But it's good news to me because it's hopeful, right? That this is the trajectory God has us on. And it's also good news to me because God doesn't say to us, just sit back and wait for the end. God invites us. Jesus invites us and says, come, follow me, be a part of my kingdom arriving on this earth. Be a part of righting injustice, speaking and living peace, showing compassion. That's why the golden rule, right, includes love your neighbor, love your enemy. Jesus goes one deeper, right? It's us living out our citizenship in the kingdom of God. I mean, all of this, these are the implications of this good news story of who God is. And it's good news to me because it helps me. It gives me a compass and it gives me hope and it gives me encouragement and direction on how do I live in this world? Well, God says, you live it with me, right? I go out before you. I walk behind you and around you. I sustain you. I'm in you, my spirit, right? Follow me. Live as one of my children, a member of my kingdom. So I offer that to you, and I would challenge you today, this afternoon, this week, think through, when you hear the gospel or the good news about God, about Jesus, what do you think of? And then press one beyond that, see if you can define it. Press one beyond that and say, now why is that good news to me? What is it about Jesus dying on the cross, or God's love for me, or God's compassion for me, or God's desire for all the earth to be restored? What about that is good to me? Because remember I started, do you need to hear some good news? Sometimes it's out there and we have to stop and listen to it and register it. So I invite you to just take set aside some time today or this week and try to answer that question for yourself. Where is the good news for you?